The Why I'll Never Make It podcast presents the Spotlight Series, an in-depth look at those making a difference in the arts and beyond. Welcome to the very first Spotlight episode of the season, and it's a very special one. November is National Military Families Month, and in honor of that, I have Janine DeVita joining me today to talk about her work with the USO Show Troupe in New York City. Now, when most people think of the USO, the first thing that comes to mind, understandably, is the legendary entertainer Bob Hope. But the USO is certainly much more than any one celebrity. Its mission is to strengthen America's military service members by keeping them connected to family, home, and country throughout their service to the nation. And for over 77 years, the USO has done just that. And the show troops play a vital role in that mission by entertaining service members and conveying the support of the nation through their uplifting shows. As an actor herself, Janine knows firsthand what it takes to reach an audience. She'll also be joining me next week to talk about work-life balance and how she maintains her voice and acting chops. And in fact, she and I did Bridges of Madison County together this past summer. But during that run, she continued to do work for the USO both as an administrator and as a producer. And she sat down with me recently in the USO offices in New York City to discuss the importance of this organization and what it means to her, as well as the military service members and their families. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Yes, I've been wanting to do this.
I mean, because we have shared a stage and now we're about to share a podcast.
It feels just right at home, very natural.
right?
It's like no time passed.
So, what brought you into the USO organization?
So when I was on tour with If Then, I was in a place where I was just feeling very creative, very just, I don't know, open to whatever. It's the theme of the show, and I really was trying to live it, of just, you know, being open to new experiences. And so I was at the stage door in Seattle, and there was a group of military personnel and service members there at the stage door after the show. And there was one woman in particular who told me that she was a prevention education specialist for the military and would love to take me to coffee and to talk about voice lessons and for herself and for her child, and then also about the possibility of learning about theater for the military. I was like, okay, totally random. Cool. Let's go. So we ended up talking at coffee and talking about theater and, you know, because she went to my website and saw that I teach as well, which I do. And so she was really interested in picking my brain about teaching and theater and all that kind of stuff. And turns out that she had been working on a curriculum to bring theater into the military to help assist in teaching, in doing prevention education, specifically suicide prevention and sexual assault prevention, incorporating theater into this already existing curriculum. And she was like, what do you think about, like, maybe collaborating and talking about this and, you know, maybe we could do it together? And I was like, absolutely, totally, why not?
Yeah.
And so we ended up, we put together this curriculum called Theatrical Prevention Education, which basically involves improvisation, script writing, all that kind of stuff that service members don't really get on a daily basis.
And this is something to engage and interact with them?
Yes.
Okay.
So what ended up happening was I got hired to go to Joint Base Lewis-McChord outside of Tacoma, Washington, in Tacoma, Washington, to put on a workshop there. And we ended up having 1,200 soldiers come. What I did was I interviewed the prevention specialists there and the victim advocates for sexual assault and talking to them about different things they had experienced. And I ended up writing a script, about a 20 minute long script that incorporated some songs and whatever. And I sang in it. So they were on stage with me acting with them. And we had 10 volunteer service members act as our actors, and mm-hmm. we had a proper rehearsal and everything. So they really got to experience what it was like to rehearse and talk about a character and live a character's journey, basically put themselves in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what acting is. It's very empathetic. And so we had them actually go through what it would feel like to be embarrassed, what it would feel like to feel scared to ask for consent. We also had them be in the shoes of the perpetrator, of maybe not reading the signs in an incorrect way, or maybe going out that night not with the intention to act in an inappropriate way, but something happened. And then, so we really tried to have them step in other people's shoes.
Was this difficult for these non-actors to fill into these?
It was, but they ended up grasping onto it in amazing ways. Amazing ways. So then we presented that 20-minute show to 1,200 soldiers. Hmm. And there was a talk back at the end, and there was improvisation for how things could have gone differently. We talked about, you know, the diffusion of responsibility, which happens when you're in a group. It's when nobody wants to stand up and say it was me, because everybody thinks the other person is going to say that. So we talked about all these things, and they could actually witness it happening on stage versus just talking about it, you know, so we could actually identify when certain things happened. We also had a talk back where it was more of like, it was kind of like a forum where we just talked about where things could have been misconstrued and how she could have acted differently, how he could have acted differently, all this kind of stuff. And it ended up being super, super successful. And the feedback was incredible. And I ended up getting hired by the DOD to go to several different military bases and do these workshops. Because these sexual assault prevention workshops, they're required. The DOD requires them. But a lot of times they're PowerPoints. They're never interactive. And so we were bringing something that's super interactive and really engaging. And so our feedback and our surveys were just really great. And so I started getting all this experience working with service members.
So was this still like a freelance thing? Like you
Absolutely.
Would just be contacted
yep.
per event or this
Absolutely
or that?
Absolutely freelanced. I would go on a day off and do a workshop. You know, I'd be in between cities and I'd have a couple of days and I would go and I took, I think, a couple personal days and did one. And if then let me off to go do them. But yeah, it was very freelance. It was just whenever they were holding one. And then I did it even after I got off tour and mm-hmm. Would travel around the country doing these workshops at these military bases.
Wow. And was it with that same woman that kind of brought you into it?
Yeah, but I would go by myself, though.
Okay.
And it would just be me going. And so I would give a full presentation prior to the workshop, the presentation itself. So it'd be a two-day workshop. So the first day is rehearsal.
Yeah.
I'm just rehearsing. And then the second day is the presentation, the performance, and then the talk back. Hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did it for about a year and a half. And so I got all this experience going on base, you know, learning all the lingo, everything. And anyway, so when this position opened up for the director for the USO show troupe, I was recruited to come interview for it because I was a performer. But not only that, I had experience with the military.
Yeah. And your time on the base, how was that? You know, coming from the actor world, what was it like being on a military base?
It's so cool. It's so cool. And it's so humbling. It's just like, man, these people are just badass.
Mm-hmm.
They're badass. And they're like, it's just incredible. Like, there really just aren't enough words. And I have been so moved being a part of this organization, you know, people who just, they put their lives on the line to fight for something that they really believe in and to keep us safe, and their families endure all of this hardship and loss and distance in the name of freedom for our country. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really just, it's very honorable, and, you know, we wouldn't have the lives that we have if it weren't for these people
right.
doing what they do. And, it's not a political issue. I can't stress that enough. It's not. It's just a human issue. And so I've been very, very moved by being a part of this organization. And when I was doing Empowered Voices, I'll never forget going to Joint Base Lewis McChord for the first time, and they had me sign their guest book where, like, the Secretary of State had signed the line above me. And I'm like, you're having me sign this? But they thought it was so cool that a Broadway actress was coming to their base. And I'm like, what the heck have I done? To, you know,
it really, like, puts it in perspective.
I was just, I was, you know, it's just incredible. And just the magnitude of everything. And it I think it just put everything in perspective for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe that's why I've become so chill in the past few years, because it's just put everything in perspective for me of, like, there are so many other people out there going through all this crazy, crazy stuff that, like, my little problems, they just don't matter that much.
Yeah. You know, my little 5-minute audition that I bombed really isn't that big a deal when you think about it.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. But, like, feel it and then move on.
Right,
you know, like, your feelings are valid. I'm not trying to invalidate your feelings.
Oh, no, no. It sucks to have that crappy audition. But at the same time, it's like, but there's going to be another one.
There's going to be another one.
And I'm going to do better. And it's...
Yeah.
It doesn't mean my career is over.
No.
You know, all these things.
No. And it's just, it's really cool. And I really love what the USO stands for in keeping a little sense of home for the service members while they're away, and keeping their family members connected and taking care of them, and helping also our servicemen and women transition when they get out of the military, which I think is honestly one of the biggest problems in this country.
Right. Because they, whether it's a year, 10 years, however long they've been in the service, then they get out and it's like that structure that they've been used to is no longer there.
The structure and the sense of worth, the sense of purpose is gone. And they, when they've been away, they're handling millions of dollars worth of machinery, and they get back here and they can't find a job suitable for their skills. It's like they end up going and doing something well below their pay grade, you know, and what they should, and there are a lot of organizations out there now that are starting to see that their skills are very transferable to other industries. So, you know, I think that that's a great direction that we're moving in. And I love,
because for me, beyond even the skills, yes, they're dealing with, like, military equipment, and obviously in the civilian world, you're not going to deal with that very much. But the skill of the discipline and the rigor and the structure and the mindset.
And the way that they're able to learn and hone those skills, handling that kind of, those kinds of materials on such a crazy scale. Like, I mean, it to me, it's like, okay, well, if you can teach them to do that, you can teach them to do really anything, because like amazing.
Right.
So, and I think it's really important for people to feel a sense of purpose. And I think that's the biggest problem. I think when people come back, it's like this thing that they've identified themselves as and identified themselves with is no longer. And then what do you do when you get back? And I think that we really need to celebrate them when they come back so that we can really get them involved and get them feeling a sense of purpose again.
And how does USO help with that transition back to civilian life?
Well, we team up with a lot of different organizations that help them transition back. And the USO is there for them when they come back, hooking them up with these different companies and things like that do transitional programs. Mm. So that's something that's good. And then also we help with them reuniting with families and transitioning families. Like, and it's, the programs that we offer are really, like, just really cool.
Which is so interesting, because, like, USO in its heyday, it's Bob Hope, it's all these, like, you know, performing entertainer, you know, kind of spectacles. And it's so interesting to find out all the many different facets that USO really covers. Mm-hmm. It's not just about those performances and the big celebrities.
No, I mean, we do that, because entertainment is completely valuable. And I think there is an element of escapism that's really, really
absolutely
important under stressful situations.
Right. They're doing life and death stuff. So they need some things that aren't so
heavy,
serious and
heavy. Exactly.
Yes.
And that's, I think, where the USO show troop comes in. We're basically the military's cheerleaders. You know, we're there to lift their spirits. And but programmatically, the other things that we do, though, we do a thing called Operation That's My Dress, where we donate 300 to, 1,500 dresses to girls going to prom who are military kids, so they have prom dresses. And we do like a day of beauty where we do like makeovers for them. We also do a thing called Operation That's My Ride, where You can, organizations will come together and companies will come together and build bikes to give to little kids who need bikes. They're kids of military families. Yeah. I mean, the programs that we do, they're really, really special. And I think that they're just so good for building morale in this country and keeping the community connected to the military community.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and from what I have heard, they kind of feel like they're their own little community. And what would be, and what the USO is trying to do is get us all to be really connected, because there can be a disconnect because they're the only people who really get it.
The military personnel themselves tend to get a lot of the spotlight, but we forget about the wife, the children, the mothers, the fathers.
Absolutely.
That are back home that are still there.
And they gravitate towards each other, obviously, because they're experiencing a shared lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And a shared, you know, it's just a shared experience. So obviously you're going to gravitate toward people who understand. What we're trying to do is get the rest of society to really understand and to be there for them in the way that we need to be.
Yeah. And your function is kind of director, music director, stage manager of the show troupe. I mean, and yeah, as well as like travel agent and everything.
Oh,
you're kind of
I do everything.
you really are kind of a one person band.
There are several different elements to my job in particular. One is the operational aspect of it, where I maintain, you know, a troupe of, right now we have 30 performers. You know, I maintain their costumes. I make sure that their costumes get dry cleaned. I make sure that, you know, their paperwork is submitted so that they can get paid. I make sure that I have their passports and I have their driver's licenses and things that need to be submitted. So that's operational, administrative aspects. And then on the event side, you know, I plan multiple events a week for them.
A recent one that you did was at Gretna.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of talk about kind of all the different jobs that you had to do.
So for Gretna, it's just hilarious because I'm an actress, and yet I know what a sound technician does and a sound designer does, and I know what a lighting designer does, and I know what a stage manager does, but I've never done those jobs
right
before.
Right. We've seen them do
I've
that.
I've seen but them I, do it.
I've never had to lay down a plot and be like, I want this light to go here and there.
Yes, yes. And so we had a 5-show weekend at the Gretna Theater in Mount Gretna, Pennsylvania, and it went amazingly well, but you knew I was doing bridges at the same time. So I was trying to prep the show. And I, you know, I also had to turn in all the program, all the song list, the composers, the lyricists, the lyrics for the sing-along portion, the bios, the headshots, all that. There's that side of it. But yeah, I was putting together ideas for the lighting plot, and I had to make a mic plot and create the playlist and hire the music director in and run the rehearsals and do the transitions. It was a 90-minute show. And I went out there for the weekend of shows and worked with the lighting designer to design the lighting plot, worked with the sound designer. But I have to say, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a lot of work.
It was a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I love to work, though.
Right, right.
That's the
right
thing. I love to work. So, like, if you give me a job and it's fulfilling and challenging, I'm there.
Yeah.
And that's what this was.
Did this almost feed into that kind of introversion you were talking about before, where you don't like the spotlight on you, but you still love to do the work?
Yeah.
Feed into that a little bit?
It did kind of feed into that, because I was able to, like, I love watching my performers shine. I love bringing out the best in them. I love giving them direction. I love, like, fine tuning performances to get it to a point where the storytelling is really, really great. So I loved that. I also loved the storytelling with the lights, and I loved the storytelling with the sound. Like, I loved that. So yeah, I really loved directing, which was kind of funny. I was like, oh, is this like a new thing for me? But I really, really loved it. The show was really good. You know, they really, really liked it. The community, you know, 5 standing ovations every night.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. So Yeah, and I also coordinated a videographer to come in and video the Saturday night performance, and we're in the process right now of getting a sizzle reel for it and stuff. So
right, because a lot of what you do is also promoting the show Troupe so that you can go to these different
venues.
And keep,
so yeah. It's administrative, operational, and just maintaining the show Troupe. It's also coordinating because I'm planning these events all the time.
Right.
It's also artistic because I'm implementing new material, decided what songs to do, and hired the music director, and it's producing, directing, a little bit of technical design now.
Right.
Why not?
And your resume got a lot bigger just
did,
from that
just
one show.
Just in the past 4 months.
Yeah.
And and then it's also promotion. So I'm also in the back of my mind, you know, thinking about how we can get marketing collateral so that I can, you know, really promote this show Troupe and promote what we stand for and really promote the fact that anytime you hire the USO show Troupe, you're actually giving back to the USO into our programmatic activity.
Yeah.
So because we're a not-for-profit and you're not necessarily giving money to the show Troupe. You're giving money into the program.
Yeah, the show Troupe is almost just a fundraising tool that can go out for the USO. Now, I would imagine, though, that the show Troupe itself, you know, full of performers and singers, you yourself come from that background, but you're obviously dealing with a lot of people who don't come from that background. Is there ever any, you know, any tension as far as like, well, why do you need this or why do you do that from the organization itself?
They're very, very supportive of the show Troupe, and I think they recognize how vital it is for our service members. I mean, they get so excited when we come, like so excited. I mean, I did come in and, you know, I was able to look at, you know, what we had and how things were being done and whatever. And it's just been operating for so long in the same way that I'm coming in with some fresh ideas. And so, I'm putting those ideas forward and, you know, they're received in, you know, generally very open ways. So, you know, it's been good about implementing the new material. Everybody was so excited about that. We have 16 brand new songs because our mission is to perform for 18 to 26 year old service members. Like, that is our mission.
Yeah.
And not specifically 18 to 26, but that's just really who they are right now, our active duty. So for active duty, and so they want to hear what's on the radio right now. So when I suggested that we add new material, everybody was super excited. And Rock the Fleet at Hard Rock Cafe went over so well. So they're definitely receptive to change. I just have to make the case.
Right.
You know, and that's been the biggest challenge for me because I've been working in an industry where it's just understood for why I need certain things.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it is a nonprofit, so it all comes down to money and budgeting.
Well, it's a nonprofit, yes. So it's all about the budget. It's all about, is this fulfilling the mission? Because it is a mission-driven business. And so we always have to go back to the basics of, is this mission-driven? And so, you know, that sometimes can be in conflict because I'm trying to grow the show Troupe and make it, you know, more streamlined and all of that. And so I constantly have to ask myself, you know, is this mission driven? Does this suit the core mission? What is the reason that I'm doing this? And if I'm able to justify it with a mission driven purpose, then I feel good about pushing it.
Yeah.
I never push anything that is not mission driven. For the good of the organization.
Yeah.
And that's something that I actually really love about working in a not-for-profit because it always makes you question your motives. You're always questioning your motives.
Yeah. It's not just about having better costumes so that they look better or better mics so they sound better.
No. It's literally about improving the experience for our servicemen and women.
Right. It really makes you focus on your audience, the military personnel.
Yeah, and that's something that I actually really love about working in a not-for-profit. It's different, I think. I mean, I can't say what it's like to work at a different company or whatever, but that's what I like about working here is that the mission is super, super clear and super, super strong.
Yeah.
And I feel really good about doing what I do because the mission is so awesome. I mean, I have family who served in the military, two uncles who served in Vietnam, and I just feel like it's very important to me for our service members to feel appreciated and seen. It's very important to me.
Yeah, I love that. And the USO certainly does that. So it's not just the show troupe and the singing and dancing.
No. We have centers all over the country, all over the world that provide a respite for our service members. You know, they're welcome there anytime.
Yeah. You just had some of the show troupe go to Japan.
Yeah. So this summer I sent them to Japan, to Korea, to Alkenbury, which is an Air Force base in England, and Wiesbaden in Germany. They went to Guam.
Wow.
You know, yeah. Guam.
As you do.
Subtle. they went to Alaska. They just got back from LA Fleet Week. They go all over. And it's really, really incredible because we're able to like show people that the USO is there for them, you know, and also my performers are just awesome humans. It requires a certain kind of performer because these gigs aren't, some of them are not fancy. You know, you're performing in a field.
Yeah.
You know, you're performing in a hangar or whatever. I mean, they're not fancy, but they're cool.
Yeah.
Like that's the difference. It's like, no, they're not like hoity-toity things. They're real. And I think that it's the best use for your gifts, honestly, to like really perform with a purpose. And I told them when I first joined, I had a meeting with all of them. And I told them that, you know, a lot of times in my career, I wondered why I'm doing this. Like, what's my why? Why am I doing this? And I said, you guys are so lucky because you have, every time you go out there, you have a why.
Yeah.
Like you have a why.
Right.
That's amazing.
You don't even have to think about it.
You don't even have to think about it. Your why is right in front of you.
Yep.
And I think that is the most beautiful thing. So I think that they're all just awesome humans. They're really, really great. So I'm really proud of them. Well, I'm like a mama bear with them.
Well, I think you're an awesome human being as well.
Thanks.
For the work you do.
Aww.
So thank you for sharing that work.
Of course.
On the podcast.
A big thank you to Janine and to you, of course, for joining me today on this episode. As I mentioned before, Janine will be joining me next week to talk about her own work on Broadway and regionally. And we might get into a little bit of what she and I did in Bridges of Madison County. As you know, at the end of this month is Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be doing a special episode focusing on the things that we're all thankful for. And that's where you get to be a part of the podcast. Send me the things that you're thankful for, wonderful things that have either happened to you this year or things that you're looking forward to coming up, things that propel you and keep you going in this industry. Go to contact.winmepodcast.com and send me a text or a voice message. I'd love to share your stories of thankfulness with all of us in the Win Me community. Until then, I'm Patrick Oliver Jones, and I'll see you next time on Why I'll Never Make It.